You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and today we are joined by Krista Wells, a singer, a songwriter, a musician, and someone who I've worked with in the past and just been so blessed by her music and her ministry, and really her heart. She's just got a great heart that comes across in her music. Krista, thank you so much for being a part of our program.
Thank you, Adam.
Tell us a little bit about your story of getting into music, because it's an interesting story. You didn't start off really doing this whole solo act. That wasn't really your dream or your kind of vision when you got started in the industry. You were a writer for many years, correct?
Yes. When I was a little girl, of course, I wanted to be Amy Grant. And so that was my original. And what was really, I hadn't considered the songwriting part of music making. As I grew older, about in high school, I stumbled into songwriting, and quickly that became my first love. And about that same time, I was having opportunities through church choir and school and to sing in front of people, which I had thought I really wanted to do. And I quickly discovered that I really loved songwriting, but being in front of people was not my favorite thing. So I did enjoy singing in groups a lot, and I did that in college. But as I became a young adult, I decided through some words of wisdom from people with more experience to just focus on songwriting. I also started a family when I was very young. I got married when I was 20 and started having children. And songwriting seemed to fit that, give me the lifestyle I wanted as well, because I didn't want to be away from home excessively. And I was never an ambitious person, even on the songwriting front. It really is an act of God, as everything is, but it really was clearly God who opened doors for me to even pursue songwriting, because I love being at my piano and creating, and I love connecting dots. And but I didn't know how to take that out to other people, and so God graciously brought people into my life who saw something worth sharing and helped me find places to share the music. So yes, I focused on songwriting until about 2009, and I was in my mid-30s, and I just got to a place where the places my music was being heard was in the Christian music industry out of Nashville, which I was super grateful for. But it's a very small number of songs that would happen to fit the current market. And a lot of what I write is a little bit on the quirky side, a little left of center. So a friend and I just said, we feel passionate about these other songs. Even if they're not right for CCM, they're right for somebody. And we really felt like we were making music that mattered, even if it's to a small number. And it would never be heard. These songs would never be heard unless we used our own voices. And so my friendship with Nicole Witt gave me the courage to step out and to start singing my songs for myself. So I still do both. I love writing with other artists and helping them convey their hearts through music and connect with their audiences. I really enjoy that. And I also have grown into enjoying sharing my own songs firsthand, but it's taken a while to get there.
You know, your music, you mentioned that it's a little bit left of center, and I think that that's what makes it so unique and great, is that you're really conveying a lot of the struggles and realistic things that you're going through, and a lot of the joys that you're sharing with other people through your music, that we often don't get over the glossed over version of the CCM market. Have you found that that has really resonated with an audience that has really kind of needed that kind of genuine transparency in music?
Yes, I have found a tribe of sorts. There are a lot of people out there who are also left of center, you know, in some way, the way they take in the world and understand the language of God. I've just been delighted to discover that I'm not the only one who thinks the way I think or sees the way I see. And I think when you're young, you almost glory in being like the lone wolf. But it's a lonely place to be, and you want to connect with other people. And so it's been a real gift to me. If the music has been a gift to someone else, it's their listening ears and nodding heads have been a greater gift to me.
I want to find out a little bit about your writing process, because your songs are very unique. There's got to be a different sort of unique writing process that you go through. What is it that kind of gets you into the kind of groove of sitting down to write a song? What is your process?
From a crafting perspective, I feel like it doesn't look different from anybody else's. I mean, I'm probably less disciplined than the typical writer in Nashville who, you know, they're writing for a publishing group and have scheduled appointments to write every day. So the stuff that I record myself, I wrote solo. And I think that does make a difference because I'm just utterly free, for better or worse, to say it the way I want to say it. When you get into co-writing, which I also enjoy, I just don't do it as often. I don't do it for my own music. The other person, you know, brings their understanding of the songwriting craft and how can we make this stronger? How can we make it catchier? How can we make it clearer to other people? You start having those kinds of conversations, which are good and helpful for a certain kind of song, but it can diminish the quirks. You know, it can smooth out the corners and make it more commercial. That's great for some purposes. But I think the people who are drawn to the music that I write and record by myself are looking for something a little less predictable, maybe. But my process is generally I just sit and fiddle at the piano. I usually, lyrics are my strong suit, my greater strength, for sure. And I usually have some semblance of a lyric before I go to the piano, or just a line. I get ideas mainly when I'm taking walks in the woods, in nature, or listening, I guess, to sermons or books, conversations. And I've now, in the last year, started a process of jotting those down in my phone in a little app called Evernote.
Yeah.
And then I just try to add to those if I have new images, new ideas. And then I just go and start fiddling around at the piano. Occasionally, I'll be inspired by someone else's song. I'll hear a band or something, and I'll love the feel or the groove. And I'll take some aspect of that, just the beat or the way they approached the overall sound and kind of use that as my inspiration. So I go back and I go, oh yeah, that's when I was listening to that band. That's when I was listening to, you know, and maybe nobody else can tell, but I can kind of trace it back and go, yeah, I can hear the influence of this Celtic band I was listening to or this alternative band or whatever.
You know, it's. I think I was going to ask you, would you start with the lyrics or the music? And I get a sense that your lyrics are kind of what leads you because your lyrics are so strong. What is it that you think has kind of influenced that ability to write and communicate in that poetic form so comfortably? Because you really do expose a lot of great emotions. You wear your emotions on your sleeves in your lyrics. So how do you think that has come so naturally to you, or is that something that you've had to work at?
That part has always come naturally. I think probably, you know, besides just whatever God gives you at birth, I think I had a grandmother who lived with us all my growing years, and she was an avid reader. And I remember I did naturally love to read, but I also remember at one point my mom comparing me to my grandmother saying, oh, you're a reader like your grandma. And I liked that. And I liked, you know, that comparison. And so my parents were great to start us on piano early. My uncle provided a piano for us. We had, you know, we moved a lot, so we kind of had a different piano wherever we went. But he and my parents always made sure we had one. And they insisted we take piano lessons. So I think because of that, my poetry writing, my creative writing, and my reading, the word craft was much more consistent in my growing years. But I'm also a visual learner. And so a lot of what the lyrics are for me is trying to make things more tangible. You're not so much trying to teach anybody else. You're trying to teach yourself. You know, you can understand a subject or an issue as much as you can write about it. That's just been my way of understanding life.
I think I've been the same way in many instances where trying to understand an idea and just talking it through has been more helpful for me. Would you say that you've benefited more? Do you feel that you've benefited more from your music and your writing than the people who are receiving it sometimes?
Oh, I definitely would think so. Because the whole... Now, I wouldn't say it like that. After I've recorded it, it doesn't... I don't continue listening to it per se, but but the process of writing it, yes, is what's life-giving to me, and the process of recording as well. And then when I go to share it with people, you know, it sort of takes on new forms as you go through new seasons. I've written a lot of songs from other people's stories about loss and grief, and been able to give those as gifts. And I was trying to, when I wrote them, I was trying to grasp truths about people who love God going through hardship, because I anticipated I would come to seasons of loss in my life, and I wanted to kind of get a head start on learning to recognize God in that. But for, you know, the past years, I've written and delivered those songs, but with a little bit of a distance, a little bit of, it's been empathy, but not firsthand experience. But the last 2 years, I've had a lot of loss and struggle in my life. And so when I've gone on stage to sing those songs, now suddenly they are speaking back to me in a humbling and helpful way. So it's interesting, the whole process, and the fact that those songs are born from someone else's loss and their willingness to be transparent and share their stories with me. And then I write a song for other people or for them, but then years later, it circles back around. It's just fascinating how our stories affect one another.
You know, what's interesting about your writing is that it seems to fall into community, and not only in its way of affecting people, but also in the way that it kind of comes about. You've written a lot of songs with other artists. You've written a lot of songs about those around you. And mm-hmm. And I think that says a lot to your ability to convey that message as well, is that you're not writing solely from something that's inside of you, this inner turmoil, but you're writing really as you observe what's taking place in the world around you. That's the sort of level of empathy that I think really rises out of your music and your lyrics. When you're communicating that to your audience, do you feel that the audience is really capturing that idea of that need for community as well? Because your songs really have that conveyed message, either very overtly or very covertly in the way that you write.
Yeah, I definitely sense that people are hearing that and resonating with it. And one of my favorite parts of sharing my music firsthand is the conversations that take place afterwards. I just love meeting people at the table after the show and just hearing their stories. And there was a song on my last album called Come Close Now that is very overtly about drawing near to one another in suffering. And that has the song that's provoked the most conversation regarding community. But I think there's definitely a hunger out there. People, even outside of the church, they have a craving to be connected with one another, especially in these times where people often don't live near family. We've noticed in our neighborhood here over the last 10 or 12 years that when we invite the neighborhood into our home for a concert or a Bible study or potluck dinners or anything, people really flock to it. You know, even to the Bible study things we've had at our house, it's not just church people or believing people. We've had people come for years to gather at our house who never did, you know, come to faith, but they just knew there was something beautiful about being with one another, and we're hungry for that. So
now I want to talk a little bit about some of the artists that you've written for before you started off into your kind of solo singing and writing for yourself. Tell us a little bit about those other artists that you've written for and the songs that have really kind of maybe captured the minds and imagination of some of our listeners.
The first person I wrote with was someone I was friends with already, and her name is Tiffany Lee, and she's her band is called Plum, P-L-U-M-B. We started writing together, and her husband actually ended up being my first publisher. So she recorded several songs in the early 2000s that we wrote together, and then very recently we wrote a song that she and I and our friend Luke Sheets wrote a song called Need You Now, and that was a huge song for her on radio. That was a pretty powerful experience to see that song go from the writing room just into large performance venues, and getting to go and witness that was just a beautiful thing to see people worshiping and being ministered to by this song that honestly I didn't even expect to go anywhere when we wrote it. Another person I've written several songs for is Natalie Grant. The song Held, H-E-L-D, that I wrote for Natalie she recorded it, I guess, in 2005. And that was the song that really opened up doors into the music community and the music industry in Nashville for me in terms of credibility. And but on a personal level, that was a song that was born out of the suffering of some dear friends of mine. And so I wrote the song for them as a gift. I think I gave it to them on Mother's Day. And it was several years before Natalie heard it and believed in it and sang it. I've written a couple of songs for Point of Grace, a song called Day by Day. That was the first or the only new song on their compilation album of number one hits they had called 20. The album was called 24, and the song was Day by Day. That was kind of funny because I wrote that song thinking of Alison Krauss or somebody like that, and not hearing it in the pop, you know, Christian pop world. And so that was fun to see them do what they did with that song. That's the joy of songwriting is for other people is just being surprised by who ends up taking to it and who, you know, how they produce it. And
it is interesting that, you know, this hasn't been your full-time pursuit. You're a mother, you're a wife, and this has been a great ministry, an outpouring of a lot of that. But tell us a little bit about you and your passion to being a mother and a wife and really taking care of your family. You have some kids that are growing up now. So tell us a little bit more about yourself.
I got married young, and we started a family young. So my husband and I met in Indiana at college, and I was not even 21 when we got married. And then we briefly lived in Nashville and then headed out to North Carolina in our early 20s and had our first child pretty quickly. And now he has just graduated from high school, which is crazy. I joke that how can he be 18? Because I'm 18. But it does feel like that. It feels like it's gone by so fast. And I think the older my children get, the younger I feel, because I just have more free time. And they were all rather close together in age. Our youngest is 10 now. So there was a point in time when they were all, I think maybe seven. I think our oldest was 7 when our youngest came home. So five kids ages 7 and under was a lot for me. And I am more introverted than extroverted, and I love to be at the piano. And obviously when you have 5 little ones, you don't get a lot of solitude. So a lot of people, you know, complain about the middle school and teenage years, but I'm actually really enjoying this age range right now. The younger years were delightful, but so very exhausting. And I just don't look back at anything accomplished during that time, and I'm just in awe that God used any work I did during that time. Which is a way I like to encourage young mothers who are maybe in their 20s and artists and thinking, I'm never going to do any good work this decade. But those first songs that I mentioned, I managed to eke those out in the small margins of young motherhood. And I was not writing a ton. I just tried to make it count when I did get to write. So we've lived in North Carolina all of this time, and are about to head back to Nashville. It's, you know, a learning to hold life loosely in terms of your own plans and expectations, and just go where the Lord takes you. That's what I'm learning.
Now that your kids are becoming more independent and growing up in that the way where their personalities are really coming to the fore, have any of them kind of caught your eye for writing or music, and have any of them collaborated with you, and or have you worked with them? And I know you work with other kids. Yeah. You work with a masterpiece program with kids to help them in the process. What about your own children?
I say they're all highly creative types. I think all children are creative types, but they definitely have a bent towards the arts. My oldest is wanting to pursue filmmaking, and my second child is interested in design and photography, and the third is definitely like a theater, dance, singing, acting is, you know, those two things are her interests. And our next son is playing bass guitar and electric guitar. And our youngest, he thought for years he wanted to be a drummer. He does have a drum kit, but he really has an eye for visual arts and an interest in visual arts. So I would not be surprised if he chased that road. So, yeah, as far as my interaction with them, I'm the one disappointment I've had is that we have not been able to consistently provide them lessons. They've taken piano and some lessons, but we have definitely provided a lot of space for creativity. And my husband is also a creative writer, so they see it as a normal part of life. And having artists in the house, having concerts in the house, that's normal to them. Having dance parties in the living room is normal to them. Art supplies all around is normal. I'm trying to think if I've actually gotten to collaborate. Recently, my son, who's just received a very good camera for his graduation gift, he filmed a little video for my friend Taylor and I. So I'm hoping to use him for more of that and give him some space to you know, speak in with his new expertise on that side of things. My middle daughter, we did a little community video several years ago where I wrote a song specifically for Rowan and I to sing together, and it's called Be Like You. I think it's still up on YouTube, and it's basically the daughter singing to the mom, when I grow up, I want to be like you in all these certain ways, and the mom is saying, but I want to be like you. And so we gathered our neighborhood into our living room, or a bunch of our neighbors and kids and adults, and we all sang it together. And a teenager, I think he was 14 years old at the time, he was pursuing filmmaking, and so I let him film it. So it's not a professional video, but it was just a fun experience of my daughter singing with me and all the kids joining in. So hopefully we'll do more of that. And they have, several of my kids have sung on a couple of my albums. There was a part that I needed kids to sing, so I brought them in to record.
You've also worked with other kids through a program of helping young aspiring artists. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that and why you got involved in it? I suspect it's because you had a lot of people in your community inspiring you, but I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Well, my parents recognized when I was in high school that there was a need for encouragement for young artists in the church. At that time, especially, there were many camps and opportunities for athletes in their teen years, but not so many for artists. And so she felt like we were kids on the fringe, you know, kids sort of without a home, even in youth group context. And so she had this idea and began brainstorming with some friends of ours up in Wheaton, Illinois. Tim Bott is a well-known calligrapher in the Christian publishing world. He's interpreted the entire Bible through calligraphy and done countless numbers of pieces, original works that are framed in people's offices and homes. Anyways, his son is a friend of mine, and we both had that same struggle in high school. And so they started brainstorming a camp for high schoolers to come and be encouraged for a week. I guess our first year of camp was 2002, and we're continuing to do it. We have now 2 weeks of camp in the summer, two separate weeks. And we've decided our magic number is about 40 students, so we cap it right about 40. There's a certain level of intimacy and safety that I think young artists especially need, a space where they can be vulnerable and share their work. And so we get together for a week, and we have different art forms represented. So the week that I go, I facilitate songwriting studio, and during that week and the other week, we'll have some combination of visual arts, photography, film and animation, dance, drama. I'm sure I'm missing something, creative writing. And the kids can choose which studio they want to be their primary studio, where they spend about half of their daytime hours during that week. And then we bring in speakers at night who are professionals in one art form or another, and they share with the students how they have integrated their faith in art and made a life of art making that reflects the truth and beauty of Christ. And we, you know, our hope is to show them that there are all kinds of ways to live that out. You don't have to be on the radio to be using your gifts for the glory of God. We do talk about our craft our crafts, but it's not so much a skill building week as a processing week, and really a place to deeply encourage young people who just often are feeling a little lonely or lost. Many of them come because their parents are very supportive and loving. They just don't know how to encourage their kids. They may not be artists themselves and don't have resources, and they're needing someone to come alongside and cheer their children on, and that's what we're all about.
Do you think that because you were able to use your gifts, sing in the church, but also you were able to give that be given that freedom to explore in writing, to make mistakes, but also to really flourish in your younger years in the church. Do you think that helped you maintain a stronger rootedness, not only in your giftedness in this way that you'd be able to use what God has given you, but also a strong rootedness in your faith, that it's become the kind of the foundation for your artistry?
I'm so glad you asked that. I think that is absolutely true. It, as we were moving around, our family and the church were our constants. And so we looked to the church to be our family, in other words. And if the family of the church had not made space for music for me, had not encouraged that and invited me to actually participate and use my gifts in whatever small ways, I can imagine a great divide forming over the years, because when you're born with this innate draw or compulsion to create art, it feels like, I guess my dad's a runner, it must be like the way he feels when he gets up in the morning and really needs to go for a run. There's something that is life-giving to him in doing that, and we each have our thing. If the church had not been a place where that could be fostered, even though, you know, we didn't have camps, I wasn't necessarily in the most artistic communities, but I was blessed to be in places where I was able to sing. I was able to, in my young adult years, in a church where they would have space for me to share music I had written, original music. And yeah, I think it probably kept me connected to God and the church more than it kept me connected to the arts. Because I don't know why it is, but now that I'm just thinking out loud, it seems like most kids at that age, if they have an artistic bent, they'll follow that bent, even if it means pulling away from the church. That's a sad thing to say, maybe, but I think just at that age, you're so in search of identity. And I think for most of us who are wired that way, we're more at risk of losing our connection with the church than our connection with the art. And so the church allowed me to stay close. And and we're just hoping to, I know that's not true everywhere, though. I know that's not the experience that all Christians in the church have had. So our hope is to not just, I guess, help the students, but also to encourage the Christian community to see that we are simply trying to model our creative God. We're trying to live actively in his image and be co-creators. I know a lot of the reason that the church doesn't always do the best job comes from some good places as well as bad. I mean, there's a desire to help us balance our tendencies, which can sometimes lead us off track. You know, as artists, we can be a little bit rebellious or a little bit loosey-goosey with things that we need the church grounded in theology to hold us to and to help us see clearly. There's a call to artists as well to not just sit back with our arms crossed and expect the church to just accept everything we do, but to be active participants in the church body and to be good listeners.
You know, I'm pretty thankful as well. I have a similar story where I was encouraged to start preaching when I was 12, and I was given a place and an opportunity to do that. Now, when I look back at preaching at 12 and through high school, it was awful. I'm embarrassed by it, but I'm also really thankful that I was given that opportunity, because it gave me a love for the Word. It gave me a desire to use the gifts that God had given me. And so often we don't provide that place because we want more polished and more refined, refined stuff. But where are we going to learn that refinement if we aren't given the freedom and the ability to make those mistakes as well? And And I think that you kind of expressed those same emotions from your childhood.
Yes.
Well, it's been a great privilege to talk to you. I'm also really encouraged to have you come out here to Cape Cod and to minister to us again with your music and with your heart and your passion for and your love for God and your focus on Christ. So we've been talking with Krista Wells. She'll be our guest musician at our Songtime Conference right here on Cape Cod, September 9th through the 11th. To find out more information, you can give her office a call at 508-362-7070 or head over to our website at songtime.com. Krista, thank you so much for sharing your story and really sharing your heart with us as you do so eloquently through your music and through your songs.
Thank you, Adam. I'm really looking forward to being with you guys. It's going to be great.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.